I mean, you could be on my team. We could be Call of Duty. We could duo drop. We can get some wins.
Okay. Who's getting those wins? Because it's not you.
Get on my back, Katie. I'll carry you.
Excuse me? Excuse me?
Hold on.
Get on my back, you say?
Well, welcome to Highly Questionable, but we have found a rivalry that we did not know existed.
I'll carry you. Hop on.
Is Alabama's dominance boring?
Okay, now I feel like this is some real hateration, holleration in the dance arena. We just saw quite possibly one of the best college football teams that we have ever seen. And rather than marveling at how dominant they are, rather than marveling at how good they are, we're going to ask if it's boring that they're that good. Here's why I'd say they're not boring for being that good. It's not like they won the national championship the last couple of years. Like, do you realize this is only the second time of all these Saban runs, the second undefeated national champion that they have had? This isn't boring. It shouldn't be boring. It just feels boring, honestly, because Nick Saban takes the fun out of the entirety of this. If I put this team in Miami Hurricanes jerseys, we would be loving every single minute of it. So Ohio State, you did so much just for the right to get your teeth kicked in. I hope it felt like you thought it was going to feel when you was out there protesting outside that man's office earlier this year. But I will not besmirch what Alabama's doing by calling it boring. I won't.
I'm sorry for laughing over that, but I find that particularly hilarious that they was begging and pleading to come out there and get stomped. So, yeah, I mean, I don't find greatness boring at all. Like, I found the Heat, when they were going on that run, obviously there were some challenges for them. I found that fun. I found KD joining the Golden State Warriors is fun. And this, is to me, is not close to that. So I find college football interesting, particularly when teams are dominant. I love the idea of having two first-rounders leave to make room for another first-rounder who then gets injured to make room for a dude to win the Heisman. Like, to me, that's interesting and incredible. It doesn't bore me. I understand that it's a lot more fun having a close national championship game. I won't disagree with that. I would have loved last night's game to not be so much of a blowout that I turned it off somewhere around the third quarter and watched Sylvie's Love. My man, Nnamdi Asamoah, pretty good job.
You cannot say you don't find this boring, and you turned the game off. Yes, it's boring. I understand it was the best college football team. I understand it's incredible and the talent and yada, yada. I'm sorry. I genuinely apologize. I don't know why I'm bothering because I know I'm still going to get yelled at for this take. This season makes me uncomfortable, and knowing that they did it, And they, as the defensive player of the game said, ignored all the COVID stuff, knowing that that's what we went through to get this is very frustrating. And I think you guys need to raise your standards, not on an individual team, but on a season. You shouldn't play an entire season to see one really good team. And sure, the downside of that is that that really incredible team, we may not have seen them. I get it. I understand there's downsides, but you cannot say that everything we went through this season to make college football happen was worth Alabama winning again in a blowout.
I gotta say, you make a whole lot of salient points, but when you talk about all those different points and all those different things, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty action-packed to me. I don't know how you gonna say it's bored after we had all that.
Do you see the Eagles keeping Carson Wentz now that Doug Peterson is gone?
All right, our man Jeremy Fowler at ESPN is saying that the chances of Carson Wentz staying with the Eagles went up, like for real up, because Doug Peterson wound up being out of there. And I'm just looking at this like, if you're going to tell these coaches that you're trying to get to take this job that, oh, by the way, and you got to take Carson Wentz too, all you're going to be doing is asking for somebody to lie to you, right? Remember when Jay Gruden was like, sure, I'll work with Robert Griffin. It's like, man, I ain't working with no damn Robert Griffin, right? Like if that's what you're going to do, that's fine. But it seems obvious to me, of the two quarterbacks that they have, if there's one to give another try, it's Jalen Hurts. It's not Carson Wentz.
I'm so confused by like the interpersonal dynamics of this situation, because throughout this season, when they drafted Jalen Hurts, to me, that felt like a GM's decision. And when they stuck with Carson Wentz throughout all his horribleness through the season, it felt like the coach holding on to him. And then at the end of the year, come to find out, Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson apparently have the beef, and they apparently are siding with the quarterback in this situation, the quarterback who we all believe a year ago was like a model citizen who holds up the Bible at every opportunity and was outspoken about social justice before many other white players were. Like a guy who we all generally think is a good stand-up guy apparently is pulling backroom deals where he's like him or me, because I don't understand how else this comes up, because all the reports were Carson Wentz wants to be traded. Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson don't get along. And then after that, it's like, oh, maybe Doug Peterson is out. Obviously, I don't know exactly what's going on in that situation, but it feels like the owner, who is by all accounts pretty smart guy, and even in his discussions about this, seemed to understand that he's not the one that should be making some of these major decisions when it comes to Carson Wentz. All that seems to make sense, but you get to the end of it and they side with a player who's not playing well.
Well, yeah, it also didn't make sense because we all saw Doug Peterson coach that last game and everybody was like, oh, he's clearly planning for the next season as opposed to playing for the game that's happening right now. And then the criticism that came from Lurie and that came from Roseman was that he was too focused on winning right now and they're focused on winning 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now, which is whenever you hear an owner give a statement that's like, we want to win, just take the last number because the first numbers are hopeful. The last number is what they're actually planning for. But also, this is the third time I think they fired a coach, and Howie Roseman is just avoiding all criticism, and everything that Doug Peterson has been saying or has been coming from his side has been about there being too many people telling him what to do. And it seems like if the people that are telling you what to do could be the owner and the GM, pretty much, if you're the head coach, that's all that you've got above you. Well, then what are they telling him and where's the disagreement? Because this is a mess. It just feels like the Eagles are at a buffet and they keep picking the appetizers that look good and like taking a bite and then leaving it on their plate and going on to the next thing. That thing's losing value. It's getting very cold. It's not even melty cheese anymore. And then now they have no cap space. They have cap hits. It's just everything about that team feels like a mess to me. But Doug Peterson's out, so I guess we're just going to pretend everything's good now.
Yeah, let me tell you my theory on how Howie Roseman has survived. Never forget this. They hired Chip Kelly, and then Chip Kelly managed to jump over Howie Roseman after that first year, and then Chip Kelly tanked out after that, and Howie somehow survived. If there's anything to learn from that situation is, I don't know what's going to happen to Carson Wentz. I saw what happened to Doug Peterson. It's going to take a hell of a lot more than last season for them to get Howie Roseman out of there, because that dude survived getting benched and then somehow came back stronger and then was the GM over a Super Bowl. Oh, no, no, no. Good luck trying to run that guy out.
So supposedly Deuce Staley is one of the front runners to take over. Is that a job that he actually wants? It seems like it's probably a fitting job for Deuce Staley in this situation.
We talk about this all the time. This is when they want to try to make some history, right? Everything is terrible around us. Somebody needs to clean this thing up. Who would we call to clean? Hey, Deuce Staley, how'd you like to come for a below market contract and help? They will be better than they were when he showed up.
Come on down to Miami, Brian Flores.
Yo, he's a magician for that.
Great weather, no state taxes.
Does it make sense to you that MLB is pushing for a full season?
All right, so this is what we are hearing, that Commissioner Rob Manfred, everybody, they are going to try to play 162 baseball games, in spite of everything that you see going on around us. But I do understand why they would try to put as many games on the schedule as possible, even if some of them get canceled. You can't play a game that isn't scheduled, and every game they play winds up being money. And speaking of money, it's pretty simple. The only way that the players get 100% of their money is if they play 100% of those games. They may not want to play all of them, but they're going to want to play as many of them as they possibly can, because the only reason any of them are out there, it ain't the love of the game, is because people have bills to pay, and they are going to try to pay those bills.
Yeah, I know very few people will sympathize with professional athletes, but I, as a longstanding union member and participant in the leadership of unions, hate what happened to the baseball players. And we always get this story about how the baseball players union is so powerful. No, no sports unions really have any leverage anymore. That is all gone, because as Bomani just mentioned, they made 37% of their salary last year. And I understand, we're in a pandemic. Everyone is gonna have to take a bit of a cut. But the problem in this situation is they sell this as a partnership. You know what a partnership would mean? When the business bounces back, they get their money back. Because the owners, when the business bounces back, they'll get their money back. The way that economics should work is, If you are an owner who cannot afford to withstand this period, sell your team to somebody who could, because those players will never, ever have the opportunity to make that money back. It is completely unfair and unethical, but because it's so much money, more money than most of us will ever dream of, no one has any sympathy for the players, nor should they, but you certainly shouldn't allow the owners to use their power and leverage to extract this money from players who many of them have come from very little to make a freaking miracle happen to get to professional level, and they only have careers for a certain amount of time, and the owners are taking advantage of this pandemic to gain more power. And I hate it. It disgusts me. I'm sure no one else cares, though.
When you say don't have any sympathy for the players, or you shouldn't have any sympathy, we're also thinking of them in terms of the highest paid ones. There is a gradient scale, and the people on the lower end of it are the ones that are absolutely getting hurt by not even making 32% was what they made last season. If there's a place where you can find sympathy for the players who, yes, many of them do make a lot of money, it would be in comparison to the owners, which is who is the actual opposite of this argument here. It's players versus ownership, not players versus you or players versus me. It's against ownership. And like Dom said, ownership has made it so that they don't want to lose any money, but in the future, they will have the opportunity to make that money back. So being mad at the players for wanting 100% of their salary, to me, is misplaced anger, where the anger should go to baseball. You run the sport. You are the organizational, the governing body. You should decide, you should be able to zoom out, assess your business, and then assess the best decision to make, where you could still pay 100 or 95. I don't know. I don't do the math. That's why I'm sitting on a futon and not in some fancy office owning a team. But you own a team. You are a money person. You're supposed to know how to make it work. The pandemic is not going away just because we're all sick of talking about it. And boy, am I sick of talking about it and being the person who keeps saying we have to fix it before this will be fixed.
I don't want to paint all of the owners with a broad brush, but I'm going to. It's so funny to hear you say that they should consider everyone else in this situation. So few of them have made it to that amount of money by considering everyone else in a particular situation.
Up next on HQ.
I did things on behalf of Tom Brady. I made content that was supportive of Tom Brady. Never did I get even so much as a like. Never did I get so much as a reply.
Do you question if Little Rock should have been given another chance?
All right, just so you know, nobody went like ridiculous with expansion. This is the University of Arkansas at Little Rock. They just shortened the name because it would be snazzier. Here we go. They got the ball. They are down by 2.
10 seconds left. Trojans trail by 2. We'll see how they'll play it. Seconds. Oh, my goodness. What's going on?
What? Yes.
Whoa.
What?
3 ball from Monyong.
Whoa.
I don't think that is the shot that they wanted. The red lights on early.
He's heated. Oh, that's former Clark Atlanta University head coach Darryl Walker.
That is awful. I mean, I guess they deserve a second chance, but are they going to get one? No. I'm not sure how the rules pan out on this, but normally when you think of things like that, like someone running into the ref, they say, like, the ref is a part of the court, so you don't get any special advantage because the ref fell down. I imagine that somebody bumping into a light switch or intentionally hitting a light switch is out of the controls of the game, so they would never get a second chance for like something like that.
Yeah, you just seemed a little bit stunned there. I don't really blame you. Look like they started developing pictures like right there in the middle of the game.
I'm worried about the guy who did it. My first thought was like, oh no, because you know that feeling in the pit of your stomach when you make a mistake and you're like, oh.
No, but the guy who did it, that was a road game for Little Rock. The guy who did it might get a raise.
Yeah, Katie's so innocent. She assumed it was a mistake. That's sweet.
Dominique, you would not. You would have immediately assumed. You know what? It'd be like you playing a video game. The game cheating.
Of course.
You saw that.
Of course. If you are in that situation, it's funny how you had the empathy for the person who hit the button. That's very thoughtful of you. But I thought of being the competitor on the floor. And I immediately thought to them, it's like, I don't care if it was a mistake or not. Y'all robbed us.
Do you question whether Tom Brady runs his own Twitter?
All right, so Tom Brady, who was a late adopter when it came to getting on the Twitter, magically got on and is instantly good at it, like immediately. Had didn't need no time to get up to speed, but we're going to act like we think it's him putting this stuff up here. Anyway, somebody put out there that Brady versus Breeze is a game that should be on the History Channel. There we go.
That deserves a little chuckle.
Oh, and there's Tom Brady. Wow. It's funny though. He's being like, oh, I see. He's saying it is like they have gray beards, even though they don't actually have gray beards. And Drew Brees would never still have that much hair if he had gotten all the way to that level of the gray. Tom Brady would still have all his hair though, because that science. Guys like him win.
Did he parlay that? He think he got some bucks from the History Channel? That would be real Tom Brady-esque move right there. But obviously he's not doing his own Twitter, but Twitter's a great place to get chuckles. Like, this is what Twitter's for. It's for laughing at Tom Brady memes.
Yeah, and for telling me to get back in the kitchen. How else would I know? No, Tom Brady does not run his own Twitter account. There's no question in my mind. And you know why? Because if there were a question in my mind, I would have to feel bad. Because for years, I did things on behalf of Tom Brady. I made content that was supportive of Tom Brady. Never did I get even so much as a like. Never did I get so much as a reply. And now he retweets people who are like, hey, Tom, I'm a big fan of you in Tampa Bay. And he's like, retweet. Love you. Thanks for sticking by me through literally nothing. So no, it better not be Tom Brady who runs Tom Brady's Twitter account, or Tom Brady and I will have to have words.
Do you guys want to see what this show is going to look like when Tom Brady plays his final season?
No.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God, I'm beautiful. Wow.
We look like...
How many years ahead is this supposed to be? Just so I know whether to be offended.
I mean, it can't be that far. We're black men. I mean, life expectancy is like
52. It says
57th
season.
I don't plan to look like that until I'm 90.
It looks like life, too.
I looked beautiful as an old lady. You did. I am super happy. If that's how this goes, I'm fine with it. Like, yeah, still had that collarbone popping. Like, let's go. TB75 method, MJ versus Bronny.
Wow.
Baseball still
boring.
Shout
out to the producers who put this back up so we could see all the things that they did while we were too busy looking at ourselves.
Yeah, you can't put pictures of us up and be like, why didn't you guys notice the words on the screen?
I would think I got a new microphone by then.
I'm going by Catherine at that point.
Tonight at 10:30 p.m. Eastern, Pacers and Warriors.
All right, so Draymond Green is back for the Warriors, and his numbers, not so great. The Warriors' numbers with him back, pretty good. It seems to help somebody else to make passes, not just Steph Curry, who also has to make all the shots. Here's Draymond talking about people and their appreciation for his game and their understanding of the game.
Most people will never learn a game of basketball. So, I mean, they think they know, but yet don't have a clue. So, it is what it is. I enjoy being one of the not so many people that actually know the game and being in that rare category of people who really know what's going on in the game of basketball, as opposed to watching and think they can dissect it because they realize who hit a shot. It's fine. First off, in order to learn, you have to understand what you don't know. And most people don't understand that they don't know shit, and so they're just and that's just what it'll be. You know, it's like a drug addict. The first step to rehab is admitting that you're a drug addict. And so when you have all these internet sensations thinking they know the game of basketball, they would then have to admit that they don't know basketball. And no one's gonna do that. So yeah, they're pretty much just
I want to know how many people that were on that Zoom that he was specifically subtweeting. By the way,
yes,
he's absolutely right on just about everything that he said. Dominique, are you intrigued?
Oh, I'm not intrigued by the game, but I'm intrigued by any time Draymond's behind a microphone. Because you're right. As a cornerback, I'm quite familiar with people not understanding the weaknesses of coverages or understanding the responsibilities of coverages. But as a member of the media, I now understand that no one here gets paid for how well they understand the game. They get paid for how long you stay and watch. Mm-hmm. And no one wants to stand and watch someone break down how you remained vertical when someone went to the rim. I'm sorry. I would love for people to care about how good my footwork was on that jam technique, but no one cares. They want to see Randy Moss take it off your back. Like, that's what happens. And they want to hear somebody act a fool about it. It's something that you have to come to terms with. And no, Randy Moss has never taken one off my back.
Oh, boy. I was just about to add.
Not Google your life away.
Not by the game, no. I'll say the same thing pretty much. Draymond, I agree with everything he's saying. He's not wrong, but he is wrong to think that this is unique to basketball. It's nobody really understands anybody's job other than their own. And you clearly, Draymond, don't understand this game as Dom so eloquently pointed out to you. Everybody's playing a different game. You just have to accept it. I will say, coming for the internet sensations is probably not the move. Those are your allies, I think. You're beloved by the internet.
Everybody's beloved by the internet except for the internet that hates them.
Whoa, deep. Dom, I know I've mostly agreed with everything you've said on the show today, but I will say, if you said that Randy Moss has never taken one from you, I just would love to know how you explain this.
There we go. Oh!
Oh, is that say Foxworth?
I'll be happy to explain what happened there. See, I think they understand the game when they don't understand the game. They want to talk about stuff like they get it when they don't fully understand it. So it's like being a drug addict. First, you got to admit that you don't know what's happening before you can get to the point to understand what's happening. That's all.
All right, that's the show. Check Dominique Foxworth out on all kinds of TV programs, where he just be wrecking stuff when he gets there. Katie Nolan is Sports with a Question Mark. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Listen at the right time with Bomani Jones.
Oh, that was nice of you.
I won't be back tomorrow. Or will I?
Oh, me neither. Okay. Yeah, no.
Oh, okay, well, it'll be me.
You're on your own.